Genesis 13. In Sunday school, we have already gone past this, but I had seen something a few weeks ago. I've been working on it, and I thought it might be a blessing. And every once in a while, you need to look at things different. And I'm a creature of habit. I really like ruts. I do. I like ruts. As you get older, I think everybody does. You know what a rut is? Yeah, don't like change. As you get older, you don't like change. And we get used to doing it, seeing it, saying it one way every time. And that's what, hey. I sometimes have to go back and look at it and say, now I've been preaching it like this. Is there some other way I could look at that? Well, I found another way to look at Genesis 13. I want you to bear with me. It's not going to be a real detailed thing. Look at verse 13, 1 through 13, chapter 13, 1 through 13 in Genesis. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even unto Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now, I want to stop right there. I'm not going to tell the whole story. You already know it. But I want you to notice this. Abram is traveling just like God told him to. He's directing him. And I want you to notice it said that in verse 1, it said that he and his wife and all he had and Lot with him, they begin to travel. So he's a rich man. God had blessed Abram, and he was a rich man, very rich. And Lot went with him. So Lot naturally became rich also. And the herds grew so large, their cattle, their sheep, grew so large that their herdsmen were arguing over pasture land. Now, I'm not talking about 100 animals. I'm talking thousands upon thousands as far as I could see animals. And I imagine it was a lot of strife trying to keep your livestock fed. And so they had a problem. So Abram, the wise older uncle, told Lot, said, now listen, we can't dwell together. I don't want to have a problem with you and your family, and I want to be on good territory with you. So I'll let you take the choice. Whichever way you go, you can go south, I'll go north, you can go east, I'll go west, whatever you do, you take the choice. Of course, you know that he went down into the plains where the grass grew, and so the Lord sent Abram the other direction. The land, by the way, was not as good the other direction. Now, but Abram continued to prosper. He continued to become more and more rich. And Lot, he went down there, and undoubtedly he stagnated because he ended up with no livestock in the city of Sodom. You can't take livestock with you in the city of Sodom. It was two cities gotten so big they run together, Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was a huge city, millions. And so therefore, something happened, and Lot undoubtedly did not prosper as well as Abram. But I want you to turn that around. Think about this. I believe, because of Abram's wisdom and his faith with God and favor with God, Abram could have went to that same plain and still prospered and not got sucked into Sodom and Gomorrah. Matter of fact, he might have made a difference down there. I don't know. But Lot, he gave, the rich uncle gave Lot the choice. But I want you to think about this. Don't cut Lot too short. We always put him down. Don't cut Lot too short. Think about this. He left all he had to follow his uncle. He left his family too. He left his loved ones. He left his friends to follow Abram. So he was plugged into the right place. He had the right idea. He must have been some spiritual minded, or he never would have wanted to go to a country that his uncle didn't even know where he was going, but he was simply going by trusting God. And undoubtedly Lot saw his faith and attached to his faith. Well, don't you think so? It never said Lot was a man of great faith. It said Abraham was the man of great faith. So Lot, let's don't look down on him too bad, because look who he hung around with. He came out from the world. He came out with Abraham. Abram then. He came out with him. He left that worldly crowd, and he went seeking a city whose builder and maker is God with his uncle. So undoubtedly he had some spiritual understanding and he had some faith, and later on we see where God rescued him. God rescued him. So let's don't put him down too bad. But I got to think about that. And I hate to use that term, but that's I just couldn't get off my mind. Look where he's plugged in. Look who he attached himself to. Abram, the father of the Jews. You go to the Middle East and you say Abraham, and everybody knows who that is. And that was 4,000 years ago. And so he did have enough spiritual understanding to get up alongside a very spiritual man. I'm going somewhere with this. Listen. Look at verse 6. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was so great that they could not dwell together. God blessed him because he was following the faith of Abraham. So write this down for this sermon on the internet tonight. Where are you plugged in? Where are you plugged in at? Now, everything he had came from Abram. You know why? Abram was a producer. Lot was not. When he disconnected from Abram, Lot lost everything he had, moved into the city. But as long as he was with Abram, Abram was a producer and God was a blessing Abram. So he just, so you couldn't be around Abram without getting blessed. And so Lot had attached himself to a producer. Now, think about this, folks. Think about tonight. This is Wednesday night. Most of you are more Bible students. There are some Christians that are producers of faith, and there are some that are clingers on of others who have faith. Think about it. A lot of Christians, they walk the walk and they talk the talk only as they're with the ones that walk the walk and talk the talk. And what they're doing is they're boring or plugging into our Christianity and our faith. Now, for a young Christian, there's nothing wrong with that. But as you get older, you shouldn't be siphoning off of somebody else's faith. Did you know if it wasn't for some TV preachers, there's some people that call themselves Christians, would never have not one iota of faith. All they're doing is sitting at home and borrowing off of that TV preacher their faith. They don't go to church. Because they don't hang around with anybody that goes to church. So therefore they don't go to church. And they don't tithe because they don't know anybody that does tithe. So therefore they don't tithe. They don't witness because they don't hang around with people that do witness. They don't study the Bible because they don't walk the Christian walk with people who do study the Bible. Do y'all see what I'm saying? As long as Lot was with Abram, he was a great believer. But when he got away from Abram, he lost his whole family. He lost every one of them. And it wasn't just his daughters. He had a huge family that was tending those huge flocks. That was his family. And when the angels went to get them out of the city, those were not even found anymore because they were borrowing off of Lot's faith, who was borrowing faith. And your faith ain't going to last very long if you're borrowing off somebody else's faith. I tell people, just because your mama's a Christian don't make you a Christian. Well, I live in a house. My mom and dad is Christians. Well, you can't borrow their faith. Now, you can siphon off a little bit of it, and you can dress like they do and say, well, I dress like a Christian. And you can talk like they do and say, well, I talk like a Christian. But what are you going to do when mom and dad's gone? Daniel 1:8. Turn to Daniel 1:8. I got to hurry. Daniel 1:8. I'm going to start reading. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, here's Daniel. Daniel purposed in his own heart. Daniel didn't borrow this from somebody else. Nobody else was doing this. Daniel took this stand alone. And then there was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When I was in children's church, I'd say, my shack, your shack, and under the bed we go. Now, they had great faith. They took a stand. But now, I looked it up, and there were over 4,000 young men taken captive, and you got five that stood. Five. They said, King, you do whatever you want to. We won't bow. Daniel said, I'll starve while I eat that. We don't eat that. I'm not going to eat that. Now, they didn't have anybody to siphon off of. Now, where's the other, $3,995 at? Have you ever wondered why when somebody moves out of mom and dad's house, they quit going to church and they start living like the devil? Right. It's because they were borrowing from mom and daddy's faith and mom and dad's religion. And when they're not around mom and daddy anymore, they lose that religion. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Who encourages you? People come here and say, Preacher, I've been having a hard week. Boy, I need a blessing. Bless me, preacher. Bless me, preacher. Well, what are you going to do when I ain't here? What are you going to do Tuesday? What are you going to do Friday? What are you going to do Saturday? Preacher, I need a blessing. I understand what you're saying, but you know, if we have the faith that like Abram had, then we ought to be able to encourage ourselves in the Lord. You shouldn't be borrowing off somebody else's encouragement. You know, a lot of people say, I'll talk to people, they'll say, what kind of church you got? I said, well, we got an old-fashioned Baptist church. They'll say, well, I like a shouting church. Do y'all shout? And I'll say, well, some. Do you shout? And they'll say, oh, no, I don't shout. I just like to see people shout. Yeah, they will. I've had many people tell me that stuff. They say, do y'all shout and clap and praise the Lord? I said, well, some. Why? Do you? No, I just like to go to a church where people do it. You see what they're doing? They're borrowing off of your praising, and they're borrowing off of your shouting, and they're borrowing off of your amen. And when they leave here, it won't do them any good. Because you brought it with you, see. Amen. Bind him hand and foot and cast him in the outer darkness. Amen. I read this story, and I know it's true, and some of you might remember the same thing kind of looked like it was happening at Kmart for several years. I read where a whole generation of seagulls, a whole generation of seagulls, are y'all listening? Starved to death in this town right next to the ocean. You know why? Because they had learned how to eat trash out of the parking lot and behind the building, and people fed them. And then when the town went down and everybody moved away and they closed the stores, the seagulls didn't know where to get something to eat. They didn't know they could go fishing themselves. And it's the same way with a lot of Baptist church members. If me or you die, they're going to starve to death because they don't know they can go fishing for themselves. Spiritually speaking. Think about that. Lot was borrowing from Abraham. Abram at the time, still called Abram. David said, the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. So I ask you the question, who encourages you? Now don't get me wrong, I like good preaching. I'll drive 2 or 3 hours here, one good sermon. I've done it many, 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 many times. But you know, I don't get to go to hear a whole lot of sermons. I'm the only preacher I get to hear. So I got to be a good one. For me. We got to encourage ourselves. Hey, I thought about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You ain't listening fast enough. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What time is it, Deborah? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, the kids ain't here. It don't matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. Hurry. Hurry. Four through eight, look at it. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ which was affirmed, confirmed in you, so that ye come behind on no gift. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now look at chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, real quick. This all go together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you're yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? You know what he's saying? All of you got the gift of God, eternal life. All of you have the Holy Spirit living in you. All of you have some kind of dispensation in this age of grace. There's a time you're supposed to be doing something God's called you to do, and everybody can't do it, only you can do it. All of you have that. He said, but you're not doing it. You've got divisions, you've got strife, you've got all these problems in your church because you are babes. Look, verse 2. I fed you with milk, not with meat. You know, you may bear it now, he said. You know what he's saying? There's some people in the church that you have to continually feed them and feed them and feed them and feed them and feed them. And you have to feed them the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over because they're babes. And what they're doing is they're attaching themselves to people who are not carnal and people who are mature. And the only religion they got is what they're getting off you. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Our churches are full of them. Our churches are full of them. Here's how it is. He said, you're an all-time high with spiritual gifts, but you're in low in spirituality. You see, the gift's outward. It's easy. If God's given you a gift, that's shown outward. That's shown outward. I'd like to believe my gift is preaching. I think it is. I believe it is. If it's not, it's too late to quit now. I've been doing it so long. But that's outward. Nobody else knows how spiritual I am except me. And did you know you can practice your gift and still not be spiritual and be divisive and be contentious and be completely out of the will of God and still have the gift of God functioning on you. Sunday school teacher, preacher, a witness, whatever. The gift of God is outward where people can see it in order to, that's the manifestation of God on you so they can see God on you and be convicted or comforted or converted, whatever the case may be. But the spiritual you, they can't see. See? And the spiritual is inward. And it's more important than the gift. It's more important. Are you listening? What's in you is more important than what you're doing on the outside. Because, see, that spirit produces that gift either good or bad. Real quick, here's what I'm talking about. Spirituality is inward. It comes by Bible study. It comes by prayer. It comes by purging. It comes by repenting. It comes by changing. So here's what I'm saying. Don't judge people by their gift. Judge them by their spirituality. There's a lot of crooks preaching. They got the gift. You ever heard anybody say he's got the gift of gab? Yeah. Pulpits are full of men with the gift of gab. But inside, they're not spiritual. They're living off other people's spirituality. Give me an example, preacher. Samson. Samson was judge of Israel. And listen, he wasn't full of the Holy Ghost. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost. He was surrounded. He was baptized. The power of the Holy Ghost was in him, on him. And it was evident. I mean, even while he was running around like a crazy man, doing things he ought not do, he picked up the gates of a city and toted them off one day. He killed thousands of men with a jawbone. And yet, most of his whole life, he was completely out of the will of God. But his gift was still going. Now, he could still fight. He could still defeat the enemy. He could still stand up for Israel. And yet, he was worldly as you could be. And he still had the power of God. You see, he didn't have any spirituality. All his was on the outside. Tell you one more story, and I got to quit. And I read this one the other day. I thought it was hilarious. These rich men, one day, back when people traveled on trains, they had all kind of wonderful trains, you know, these cab cars and luxury, you know, and you slept on the train, you ate on the train. And these rich businessmen went down to the train yard one day. They were supposed to get on this luxurious train to take them somewhere to another town on business, you know, a big trip. And they were so excited, you know, and they were friends and they were talking. And they went down there and they saw this big luxury train, you know. And they got up on the train. There was nobody on it. So they sat down and said, well, you know, one of them said, well, this is the train. I know where it is. Look at it. Best train on the line. This is what we paid for. I don't know where everybody is, but we got our seat. And so they sat there about an hour talking and going on, you know. And then they got to where about the time and said, finally a conductor come on the train and said, fellas, you can't ride on this train. And they said, who do you think you're talking to? Do you know who we are? Do you know how much money we paid to ride this train? This is the best train you have, and this is what we paid for. He said, well, you got to get off. And they said, we're not moving. We're riding this train right here. He said, no, you're not. And they said, yes, we are. And he said, you can't. And they said, we can. And he said, okay, have it your way. And he got off the train. And a few minutes later, they heard something go, woo, woo. And they see another train ride right up the track beside them. And one of them gets off and looks, and he comes back in there and he says, this train don't have an engine on it. And there's a lot of Christians running around here. They look good and they sound good, but they're not plugged in to nothing. They're borrowing off everybody else's religion. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again, look at it and I'll quit. Look at verse 10. He says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, there's a lot of people running around here borrowing off of other people's Christianity, and they look good and they sound good, but on the inside, they're not spiritual at all. They know how to look, they know how to talk, and they're saved. But they don't know how to encourage themselves. They don't know how to teach themselves. They don't know how to comfort themselves. So therefore, whenever they die, everything that you thought they were doing so good at the judgment seat of Christ is going to burn up. The only thing that's going to be saved is them, because that's all that was real anyway. Everything else they did was fake, because they were just doing it because somebody else did it or somebody else told them they ought to do it. It wasn't them. They were plugged into somebody else. And my question to you is, if you had nobody else to depend on, where would you get your inspiration? Where would you get your encouragement? And if there was nobody else but you, and the works that you're doing now, would they last at the judgment seat of Christ? There's a lot of people, their works look good, but they're going to be burned up, because they were just doing it because somebody else told them they should have done that. Wasn't in their heart. Billy, we've been in some independent Baptist churches. And boy, they had rules. Man, they had rules. And we'd do them. We'd do them just to please the preacher or the crowd, because they all did it. But you know, at judgment seat of Christ, that work's going to burn up. It didn't mean anything. We were just imitating somebody else. That's all. Just imitating somebody else. So, here's my hope and prayer for you, son, is you get your own religion. you fall in love with Jesus, you get real close to Him. And if you go to church and preach is good, you'll say, amen. Say it. Amen. I'm glad he got right before we left. Listen. Or you'll, hey, you'll hear some preacher on the radio or tape or something, you'll say, boy, that's good. But that's not going to be the only inspiration you have, because you'll have your own works and your own faith, and you'll go on your own if everybody else stops. You'll keep right on going, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You'll keep right on praying, Daniel, when everybody else quits praying. And that's the kind of church we need, folks. We don't need people that borrow the preacher's religion or mama or daddy's or brother or sister so-and-so. We need some people that'll get grounded in the faith for themselves, and they'll do works that God has laid on their heart, and God will bless it. Of course, you're going to have some that fall by the wayside. There's always going to be a lot. And he's going to see how God blesses you, and he's going to want to pull up beside you, hoping some of it run off on you, on him. Some of yours run off on him. But one day that lot is going to have to go out on his own or her own. And when they do, is the blessing going to keep on going, or were they just borrowing your blessing? And that's where the true test is right there. Well, you know, I used to go to church, but something happened down at the church. Then you was borrowing your faith from that church. You wasn't borrowing it from Jesus Christ. Well, you know, I used to live for the Lord, but somebody hurt me. Well, join the club. Your faith ain't supposed to be in them. It's supposed to be in Him. So my question tonight is, why don't we just get plugged into the right socket? Amen? Why don't we draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to thee? Now, I love you, Brother Rick, but if you quit coming, I'll still go. Amen. I love Billy back here, but he'll tell you, if the Lord tells me to do something, I'll leave him and go do something else. Because, see, that's the way we're supposed to be. That's maturity. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God. It never changes. Good examples.